Welcome to our service for the Feast of Epiphany. As you probably know, Epiphany isn't really until January the 6th, after the 12 days of Christmas, but our lectionary celebrates it today. By the way, there will be no music in today's service. Sam is taking a well-earned break. Let us pray. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Grace and peace be with you, and keep you in the love of Christ. Father of glory, holy and eternal, look upon us now in power and mercy. May your strength overcome our weakness, your radiance transform our blindness, and your Spirit draw us to that love shown and offered to us by your Son, our Saviour Jesus Christ. Amen. O worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness, bow down before him, his glory proclaim, with gold of obedience and incense of lowliness, kneel and adore him, the Lord is his name. Let us confess our sins to Almighty God. Heavenly Father, we have sinned in thought, word and deed, and have failed to do what we ought to have done. We are sorry, and truly repent. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, who died for us, forgive us all that is past, and lead us in his way to walk as children of light. Amen. Almighty God, have mercy upon us, pardon and deliver us from all our sins, confirm and strengthen us in all goodness, and keep us in eternal life, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. The Collect for Epiphany. O God, who by the leading of a star manifested your only Son to the peoples of the earth, mercifully grant that we who know you now by faith may at last behold your glory face to face. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who is alive and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, now and for ever. Amen. Today's Bible reading is Matthew chapter 2, verses 1 to 12. In the time of King Herod, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, asking, "Where is the child who has been born King of the Jews? For we observed his star at its rising, and have come to pay him homage." When King Herod heard this, he was frightened, and all Jerusalem with him. And calling together all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Messiah was to be born. They told him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for so it has been written by the prophet, 'And you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for from you shall come a ruler who is to shepherd my people Israel.'" Then Herod secretly called for the wise men, and learned from them the exact time when the star had appeared. And then he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, "Go and search diligently for the child, and when you have found him, bring me word, so that I may also go and pay him homage." When they had heard the king, they set out, and there ahead of them went the star that they had seen at its rising, until it stopped over the place where the child was. And they saw that the star had stopped, they were overwhelmed with joy. On entering the house, they saw the child with Mary his mother, and they knelt down and paid him homage. Then, opening their treasure chests, they offered him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they left for their own country by another road. Here ends the reading. May the words that I speak and the meditations of all our hearts be now and ever acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our Rock and our Redeemer. Amen. So we arrive at the end of an old year we'll be glad to see the back of, and begin a new one which we can look forward to with cautious optimism. I'm speaking on the day that the second vaccine against COVID-19 has been authorised for use in the UK. I want, first of all, to thank you for your understanding of the difficulties which this year has presented for ministry, and to say an even more heartfelt thank you than usual to all your church officers and others who have made some kind of church life possible. At Penbrin and Newquay, a great deal of work has gone into enabling us to hold services in recent months. In our other churches, your church officers have still been keeping a weather eye on our church buildings, as well as monitoring the finances, progressing important projects, and keeping in touch with the members of the different congregations. I must say a special thank you this year to Sam, who has made these online services possible by his musical and technical gifts. Secondly, I need to say that although we are continuing at present to hold services at Penbrin and Newquay, we are keeping that decision under review. The virus is closer to us now than when we first went back, and it is also probably more infectious. If it gets much worse in Ceredigion than it is now, we will certainly have to reconsider. All that aside, we celebrate today the Feast of the Epiphany. As I mentioned, strictly speaking, Epiphany is not until Wednesday, at the end of the 12 days of Christmas, but our lectionary keeps it today. At this season, we remember traditionally the story of the Magi. You'll have heard me say before, perhaps, that we tend to reduce the story to only one of its constituent parts in these days. We tend to think only of that part of their journey where the Magi follow the star to Bethlehem. You'll have received Christmas cards which depict the wise men following the star. But you're much less likely to have received a card which shows the adoration of the Magi as they arrive to see the infant Jesus and pour out their gifts at his feet. And less likely still to have received cards which show the first part of the journey or their return home. The four different parts of the story are quite distinct. When the Magi set off from home, they are not following the star which they have seen in the east. Rather, they are heading to Jerusalem, because Jerusalem is the capital of Judea, and that is where you would expect the King of the Jews to be born. When they get there, they ask where the child is, but they are told that no royal child has been born there. If one has been born, say the religious teachers, he will have been born in Bethlehem, as prophesied by the prophet Micah. And so they set off on the second part of their journey. They are still not following the star at first. They are going to Bethlehem because the scriptures say that that is where there is the best chance that they will find the child. Only as they are already on that journey do they see the same star which they had seen in the east, pointing the way to where the child is. And so they enter in, with their gold and frankincense and myrrh, and they kneel in adoration at the baby's feet. This part of the story, the adoration of the Magi, is traditionally the one that is at the heart of the meaning of the Feast of Epiphany. Of all the different seasons of the liturgical year, this is the one which has the fullest sense of worship. Whereas at Christmas we celebrate the incarnation, God's coming to earth as man, and at Easter we celebrate our redemption from sin through the sacrifice of Christ upon the cross, and our birth into a new life through the power of his resurrection, at Epiphany, traditionally, we celebrate all of the above. As the old rhyme puts it, in Epiphany we trace all the glories of his grace. This is the message of the great Epiphany hymns. O worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness, bow down before him, his glory proclaim, with gold of obedience and incense of lowliness, kneel and adore him, the Lord is his name. The fourth part of the story of the Magi is the story of their secretive journey home. Rather than go back to Herod and tell him that they have found the child, they go home, as the old translation puts it, by another way. If you get chance, listen to James Taylor's song, Home by Another Way, which you'll find on the internet, in which Taylor celebrates this aspect of the story as suggesting that there can be another way for all of us. We do not have to cave in to the abuses of power and authority expressed in the rage and dishonesty of Herod. It would be great if the story ended there, with the Magi going secretly and successfully on their way home, but sadly, it does not. It ends back in Bethlehem, with the loud wailing of the city's mothers, as Herod's soldiers put their children to death in fear that one of them may be the Christ. Here it is a different song we hear, in the haunting ancient harmonies of the Coventry Carol. But woe is me, poor child, for thee, and ever night and day, for thy parting neither say nor sing, bye-bye lully, lullay. Like the myrrh which the wise men offer to Jesus, the sound of Rachel weeping for her children in Bethlehem points us forward to the Pietà, to Mary cradling her son as he is taken down from the cross. What journeys do you hope to go on in this new year, if and when journeys, God willing, will be possible again? What people will make journeys to see you? This has been a year when we discovered in new ways the people and the places that are precious to us. Precious because we have not been able to see them and be with them. Some such journeys are obvious. We are longing to see our families, and especially the children, grandchildren, great-nephews and nieces, whoever they may be. I know, too, that I want to make a journey to visit the people for whom Jane and I have been praying this year, without being able to see them. Then there are journeys to familiar, favourite places, as well as journeys to places that I've always wanted to go but never quite made it. Take away the possibility of going, and the desire to go on those journeys seems to intensify. We do not think of them as young, these Magi. Not many of the cards we received will have depicted them as young men. They are wise, after all. We do not usually think of the young as especially wise. They are not men for whom this journey will be easy or even in those days safe. They set out on their journey because of the infinite worth of the child that they travel in hope to see. It is from the sense of his worth that our word worship is taken. As we said in our service on Christmas morning, every worthwhile journey begins in the heart. Perhaps if you want to listen to one last piece of music to capture the heart of the message of Epiphany, listen to J.S. Bach's Jesu meine Freude, or in English, Jesu priceless treasure. Jesu priceless treasure, source of purest pleasure, truest friend to me. Ah, how long I've panted, and my heart has fainted, thirsting, Lord, for thee. Thine I am, O spotless Lamb, I will suffer naught to hide thee. Naught I ask beside thee. Amen. Now it's time for our prayers. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. In tader honoiten en avoid, sancte theda enu, dele de devnas, gunele de wachlis, megis en ane vechli ar ddear hefyd. Dedoni heddiw en barab einyddiol, yma ddai i ni en dyledion, fel yma ddewn inna i'n dyledwyr. Ac nac arwain ni brofedigaeth, eithr gwared ni rhag drwg, canis eith o ti o'r dernas, a'r gallu a'r gogoliant, yn oes oesoedd. Amen. Let us pray for the church and for the world, and let us thank God for his goodness. We pray for the church throughout the world, for our Bishop Joanna, Archdeacon Aileen, Area Dean John, our clergy Judith, John and David, and all who contribute to the life of our congregations. We pray in this new year for our sisters and brothers in the chapels of our area, praying that God may bless their work and ministry. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray for people of all nations, especially those countries which are suffering badly with the coronavirus and where the people are made vulnerable through poverty or neglect. We give thanks for those caring for them, for those still working to develop vaccines. We pray for fairness and openness in the distribution of vaccines to those most in need. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray for our loved ones, near and far, our families and friends and our communities, especially any who are in particular need of our prayers at this time. We remember especially those isolated, either from us or from others, by the risk of infection. We pray, Lord, that they would know that you are with them, bless them and keep them. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We remember those who have died, from our own circle of family, friends and community, those who have died from coronavirus and those from other causes. We pray for all who mourn today the passing of those they have loved. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Merciful Father, accept these prayers for the sake of your Son, our Saviour Jesus Christ. Amen. The Lord be gracious to you and bless you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you. The Lord lift up the light of his countenance upon you and give you peace. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, rest upon you and remain with you, this day and always. Amen.